Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, The Epistle to the Hebrews. Are you prepared for eternity? This may seem to be an odd question for a Christian who knows they will go to heaven, but what kind of preparations have you done except to be saved? Are you experiencing spiritual growth? Jesus told his disciples to prepare for eternity with spiritual growth, because it only happens on earth while our sinful nature struggles against the born-again spirit. The maturity we obtain through the trials and sufferings on earth will be with us forever. And Pastor John gives some pointers on what you can do to promote spiritual growth and increase your maturity. This message is entitled, The Eternal Goal. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise God and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on December 30th. 2012. And this is our last Sunday that we have in 2012. And we got 1 year behind us. We are 1 year closer to the Lord. The message I'm going to preach today is on the eternal goal. And I want to say from the very beginning that I do not want anyone here to feel guilty today. I don't want you to feel guilty. I want to encourage you to do better and to get closer to the Lord. So would you stand with us as we pray one more time? Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that we have this opportunity to share the Word of God. And Lord, this is my last sermon for 2012. And I pray, Father God, it will be worthwhile, it will make an impact, not because of me, but because of you. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and verse number 13. That's Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such thing declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of their country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desired a better country, that is, an heavenly, whereby God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. We have the Hall of Fame in different sports. We have the Hall of Faith. We studied the 20 verses here now. And today, I want us to think about focusing on eternity. And let me share with you, I'm just going to read this here so I don't get too excited. You have it on the outline. Now, every child is told they need to prepare for life as an adult. At least, I was told that by my parents. Children in the United States begin their education 6 years old, and most of them ended at the age of 18 when they complete high school. That is a time invested of 12 years. Most of us here have invested at least 12 years in education here for this earth. Now, if a person lives a normal life, he can expect to work for 47 years after you graduate from high school. That's 47 years. That's not a long time. And then if you retire at age 65. This person is willing to spend 12 years in education in order to work for 47 years. That's quite a bit of time. 12 years to work for 47 years. Now, the average Christian would spend 1 hour per week in a Sunday worship service. That is, if you have a really, what I call a, they call it a dedicated Christian. Not those that come at Easter, at Christmas. So by the time, if you are spending 1 hour a week, by the time you get 65 years old, you have spent 4.7 months in education for eternity. If you add an extra hour per week for Bible study and prayer time, this would rise to 9.4 months of training for eternity. If you look at a very dedicated Christian who spent 2 hours per week on Sunday in church, attends a weekly prayer meeting for 1 hour, and spends 1 hour every day in personal Bible study and prayer, he will have completed 3.9 years spiritual education that will last for ever and ever and ever and ever. Think about it. We spend 12 years. If you're a doctor, a lawyer, you spend another 4 years, 6 years, 8 years. Think about the enormous amount of time we spend so we can have a job on earth and how little we spend for eternity. I want you to think about that. How do we prepare for eternal living? Let's start in Luke chapter 12. That's the Gospel of Luke at the 12th chapter. And let me say this to you now so we understand that. When you enter heaven, we're going to be part of a new creation. The thought you have of, you know, when I get to heaven, they give me a harp or they give me an instrument, you know, I'll just be sitting there, you know, and just playing songs the rest of eternity. That is not reality. You and I are being trained on this earth for positions in eternity. Right now, you must say, well, I'm not having too much success on earth. God is not so interested in success on earth as he's interested in faithfulness. He's building character so that you can hold the job that he wants you to have in eternity. Let me talk about the highway patrol, the California Highway Patrol. There are not very many people that qualify for it. And when they take in a class, they bring in between 700 to 800 cadets. These are men and women, age 20 up to 30 years old. And when they bring them in, they have a very intense training program. What they're looking at is, you got to have skill to be able to shoot. You got to have skill in driving. You got to have skill in administration. And you got to have a number of different skills. But that's not enough. They're also looking for character. They simply want to have men and women that have a maturity. Now, some of the Highway Patrol guys don't have that much maturity. They should. But they weed them out. So if 700 people start the class for that particular training session that lasts about a year, maybe 50 graduate and becomes a Highway Patrol guy. If you want to become an airline pilot, if you want to become a policeman, or whatever it is of a certain position, they're not only looking for skills, they're looking for character and maturity. God is doing the same thing. Right now, your character and your maturity will be determined on this earth. When you leave this earth, in the next life, we're going to learn skills, technology, lots of things we're going to learn. But remember this, your personality, your maturity, your character is formed here. And the moment you drop your body, your growth stops. And whatever level of maturity you have on this earth, you will have for eternity. I'm going to be talking about that at the end of my sermon. But you've got to remember now, in heaven, there's no devil, no demons, no sin. There's no challenge. And the only time you grow is when you face difficulties. We had a great testimony here, several great testimonies today, but what Thomas brought out is, and I know what he faced this year. He simply had got a job, it was a big job. And they always used the little guy, his money. So he had borrowed more than $100,000 to finance this job, which is close to a $1 million job. He borrowed that much money. At the end, there was an overrun of cost. And simply, he was left holding a bag of $100,000. Borrowed money, not money he had saved. And he simply faced this. If the company did not give him the money and simply say, we made a mistake, I'm talking about the general contractor, and we will take care of that, he would have gone down. He could not absorb that loss. Listen closely now. It took about 3 months that he walked without knowing if he would get the money. But I never once heard him say, I think I'm going under. I think this is the end of my life. I think the end of the business and so on. He simply said, God will provide. I'm not going to give his testimony, but in the end, the company and the owner simply said, here is the money, and they paid him over $100,000 extra to cover his cost. Now, what took place during these 3 months? Growth. Would you learn to walk with Jesus? If you want to learn a story, look upon the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt. They had 10 miracles. They had a miracle to go through the Red Sea. Then they got to the other side. They danced, had a good time. And the next day they said, where's the water? And their faith disappeared. How long did they walk in the desert? 40 years. Why? Because God had to get Egypt out of them, and he had to teach them a lesson. So here's the story. If you want to learn, you want to simply begin to have success, begin to trust God and praise him before you see the miracle. Otherwise, you know what he's going to do? Another lap in the desert. Around the desert one more time. As you walk around in that desert, and you walk around, God is saying, are you learning your lesson? You moan and groan and says, I don't know, Lord. He says, okay, we're going to have another challenge. Here comes another challenge. And you go, oh, my God. Oh, no, this is not going to work out. And God will simply say, fine, son, another lap. And here you go again in the desert, another lap in the desert. And when you go in the desert, he says, are you learning your lesson? I think so. I hope so. I want to. And then comes another challenge. And remember this. Every time you fail and you say, I don't know if this is going to work out or not, another lap. Until you come to the place where you learn God is faithful. Having said it, turn out to Luke chapter 12. I want to pick it up in verse number 15. Luke 12, verse number 15. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. There's a lot of people that are simply planning for retirement. They went to school for 12 years, maybe put in some extra time in college and so on. And then they simply have their 401ks, and they have investment, and I buy this, I buy that. And they simply say, you know, we got to prepare for life after 65. And then, of course, you heard the slogans, you know, long-term care. And they're simply advertising this, you know, that the average person simply will spend 10 years or so in a nursing home. And you don't want to be in a bad nursing home, so you want to right now have insurance. So you can sit there in the nicest nursing home they have in your wheelchair when you've been in dying, okay? So they prepare for death. And what happened? Many times, you die before you cash in or whatever it is. Here's what you should have and think about. You want to die healthy. You want to die healthy. There's no place in the Bible where God says you have to be sick in order to die. To be sick is abnormal. Moses, many of the others, they simply were cold and they dropped. A lot of men and women of God, they simply were here one day, the next day they were gone. I don't plan for long-term nursing care. I plan for a swift flight. When God said, I'm done, I drop. You can pick me up, put me down, burn me, whatever you want to do. I'm gone. And Jesus said, so is he that lays up treasure for himself, is not rich to a God. Is it wrong to plan for having some kind of retirement fund? No. But you don't want to major on that. You major in trusting Jesus. And he said to his disciples, therefore I said to you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body which you put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feeds them. How much more are you better than fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If you then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take your thought for the rest? We always going to have the IRS. We're always going to have taxes. There's always going to be something. So why not simply say, I'm going to let God care for that. Consider lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field, tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O your little faith? And seek you not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be your doubtful mind. For all these things do the nation of the world seek after, and your heavenly Father know that you have need of these things. But rather, seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. 5-6 years ago, Satyrus had a heart attack. Taken into the hospital, spent about 4 days in the hospital, and God healed him, and he walked out healed with a $100,000 bill. I remember thinking, he doesn't have any insurance. He don't have any resources. How's God going to do this? Satyrus has never smoked in his entire life. Never. And someone from the hospital called his wife and said, well, we have tobacco companies that are giving grants. Would you apply for one? So they did. And the tobacco company said, we will pay for your bill, $100,000 plus. And there, Satyrus was well. The bill was paid for, and you never had a problem since that time. You never know how God can do things. You don't know that. Now, if I would have gone up and said to him, you know, maybe we could go on and, you know, stand here at the intersection like you've seen guys standing, you know, I need help. You know, he might have got, you know, $55. But they simply went in prayer. God will take care of you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If that is a verse you never see, look at that verse again. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is wonderful. Now turn to Matthew 6, and you can see now how God wants you to transfer your wealth. That's Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust is corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust is corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Isn't that amazing? Whatever you have, your riches, that's where your heart is. Now, you know, we have a lot of riches on this earth. We got to have security, locks, all kind of things, surveillance cameras. We got to protect our stuff. But have you realized that everything that we invest in the kingdom of God is secure? No one will steal it from you, cannot steal it for you. Whatever you sent up into heaven is there with interest, multiplying 24 hours a day. And when you get up there, and Jesus says, well, somebody, here's your account. And you take a look in your account there. And you says, wow, do I have that much in heavenly cash? I didn't do that much. Son, you were faithful in little. We pay good dividends in heaven. And look what has been happening. Plus you got a downline. You forgot that you led this guy to Christ 30 years ago. And that man turned out to lead other people to Christ. And Jesus will say there are 1,600 people standing over here that got saved because what you did that one time 33 years ago. And you go, wow, That's nice. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. Now this week, I had to practice that. We had a slow month. And I had to make a decision. Do I pay my tithe? Or do I discuss with God and says, well, God, you know, I got this bill, that bill, that bill, you know. And these bill collectors are not very nice. So, Lord, can you take a back seat? And you got enough money anyway, Lord. You don't need my money. I didn't argue with him. I knew this. If I don't write on my tithe check, he says, you are on your own. But if we trust him, like it says in Malachi chapter 3, with a tithe, he is in charge of our finances. There's a lot of people that says, well, you know, I don't believe in that. That's Old Testament and so on. I want to tell you something. You're going to argue with God at the judgment seat of Christ. You're not going to argue that. You're simply going to be told. And he's going to say, son, daughter, you stole from me. It says in Malachi 3, if you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. And because of that, I couldn't bless you. I had huge plans for you, but I cannot break my word. And since you broke my word, I had to withhold a lot of blessings from you. I learned years ago, I cannot afford not to tithe. Are my bills paid? No, they're not. But you know what? I have faith that before the due date, they will be paid. And I ain't going on a lap in the wilderness. I'm standing on this promise. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 now. 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look in chapter 2, verses 9. And I want to shift gears now. I want to read this to you. There's a difference in being skilled to do things compared to spiritual maturity. Knowledge is learned. Skills come through practice. But spiritual maturity only comes from the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you some pointed questions. Have you ever been to a doctor, you had a need, and you looked up a specialist? And you found out that this guy has had 200 successful surgeries, very skillful, the best on the market. And you go to him, and you find that the man is rude. He's crass. He's something, you know, he's not a nice person. And he says, well, you know, this is really a rude person. He's skillful. But man, is he a nasty person. You ever met a person like that? Sure you have. And then you meet someone that might not be as skillful. And might not be as successful. But with a sweet spirit. And when he meets you, there's sympathy. There's compassion. And he said, we will do our best. I cannot guarantee you everything, but I will do my best. And you will simply feel very comfortable because this person has a maturity. He's a nice person. How do you know that you're a nice person? Do the hammer test. You know what a hammer test is? Get about 5 nails. Go someplace where you have a board. Put a nail up like this. And I'm sure between 5 nails you will hit your thumb once. When you hit your thumb and it says whack, if it comes out, praise the Lord, you know you're sanctified. If anything else comes out, another lap. Now, Let's read this. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But a natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he might instruct him? But you have received, but we have received. Now, let me read it over. But we have the mind of Christ. You and I have the mind of Christ. When I'm around people that use bad words, I tell them, I do not accept this. I'm not going to accept bad words in a conversation from a Christian. It shouldn't be there. That vocabulary should not be there. And some people argue, says, well, that is the way I am. Take another lap around in the desert. Your character is flawed. Your maturity is not there. You are rude. A sweet person that has the Holy Spirit brings out sweetness, and your language is also sweet. In Matthew 5, Jesus tells us, now how do we grow? How can I speed this up? Where's my fertilizer? How can I fertilize this? In Matthew 5, if you pick it up in verse number 1, and see the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to be poor in the spirit? It means that you are humble. You're not pushy. You're not rude. You're kind. And you simply are not puffing yourself up. But you're simply saying this, with God's help. You know, a humble person, you cannot say, okay, I'm going to be humble today. If it doesn't work, I'm going to pop them. It doesn't work that way. Humbleness is a learned behavior. When you learn to submit, this is why God gives you bad supervisors. Because he wants you to learn to submit. And you ask God to remove the jerk. And God said, I put the jerk there for you. Because I want you to learn to be poor in spirit. I want you to learn to be humble. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Are we mourning? Are we caring for those people that are in need? Or do we simply say, well, it doesn't bother me, you know, it's not my problem. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you want to be tested on that, if you ever go to a supermarket, you can have a test at any time. Particularly if you're a little bit in a hurry, and you'll be running around, and you've got your cart filled, and you're running down to find the nearest cashier to get out quick. And you see this little lady with a helmet on, rushing down as he beats you, bumps you out, and he goes right out in front of you. If you can then say, bless the Lord, and little lady, bless your dear little heart. If you're in such big a hurry, help yourself. Blessed are the meek when somebody passes you and cuts you off. You're coming up to a light and you try to be first and somebody gets in between you. And you simply say, praise God, God bless you. You give them all five fingers. Okay? God bless you. That's what God wants. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you're sitting and watching a television program or a movie, whatever it is, it's filled with filth. You're not thirsting after righteousness. You're the wrong street. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall see all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You want to mature fast? Here's a fertilizer. I just read it to you. If you every day, will you take your time to pray and read the word, read these verses, and say, God, this is what I want to be. Jesus, shape my life. These are the characteristics I want to be part of my life. You pray that prayer every day, 7 days a week, and you are going to be a nice person. Turn to Matthew 25 now. A mature Christian is a responsible Christian. Matthew 25:14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling to a far country who called his own servant and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made about 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of the servants comes and reckons with him. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought out 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. I want to stay here in verse number 21. Every one of us in this room, and every one of you that are watching me, you have received gifts, talents, money. You have been given the capacity to make an earning on this earth. Life can be likened to monopoly. You're given a number, X number of dollars to begin with, and then you start your traveling. Some of us have received little, some more, some less, whatever. But God is simply saying this is what I gave you. I gave you the ability to paint pictures. I gave you the ability to play instruments. I gave you the ability to know mathematics. I gave you the ability to be an accountant. I gave you the ability to be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is. And at the very end of life, you will come before him and he will look at you and he will say, okay, this is what I gave you. He will give you a list. He will simply say, when I created you, this is what I put into your soul, into your spirit. These are the gifts I gave you. These are the parents I gave you. This is the position I gave you. Now, tell me, what did you do with it? You will be asked that question. I'd like to rehearse it right now on this side of eternity and simply do everything I can with what I have. Look at verse 21 again. His Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. You might be a wife, and you maybe never had a job outside home, but you were a homemaker, which is a job in itself. And you were faithful to God. You raised your children. You taught them well. You took care of your husband's clothing. You made sure he had food when he went to work. And you were there behind the scenes. And you prayed. There were nights when you woke up and you spent the night in prayer for a child that was gone wrong or whatever it is. And no one ever noticed you. You're not well known in the world. No one even knows that you exist. But God will say to you one day, welcome home, you faithful servant. This is what I gave you. And you were faithful in what I gave you. I believe that some of these women will have a higher position than some of the greatest evangelists on this earth. Because they were faithful and they developed a godly character. Turn to Galatians 5 now. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look upon now the fruits. You can be a fruit inspector. Galatians 5:22. A mature Christian will display the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, when you're under pressure, that's when the impurity comes out. And if you are under pressure, out comes anger, resentment, bitterness, ugliness. Begin to praise God and thank you, Lord, for showing that's what's in my heart. I want to deal with that. I don't want that. And you crucify yourself daily. And someday, you recognize the anger is gone. There's no more bitterness. Instead, you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. If you cannot worship God under pressure, you cannot really worship him when there's no pressure. True worship is when you're hurting, in pain, you feel bad, there's been defeat around you, and you lift your hands up, and you say, Lord, I'm going to rise above my circumstances, and I'm going to praise you. If you never deliver me from these things, I'm going to be praising you. That is when God can simply take you out of the desert and put you into the promised land. And quickly turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me read this to you. In eternity, there will be no devil or demons, nor will there be any sin. The sinful nature that we dragged around on earth will be gone, and we won't have any challenges. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We will come to that day one time when you will leave this earth, and there will be no more sinful nature. We are fighting our sinful nature. Can you imagine how wonderful we must feel? No more temptations. No more false things drawing us in the wrong direction. But a pure thought life. A pure, undivided heart. Worshiping God. That's in eternity. Here. We have to live with it. We have to crucify it out. And we got to put it down. I want to go, how do we increase our maturity? I'm going to skip 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 to 15, 5 through 10. It simply says, when we come to the judgment seat of Christ, we will be judged according to what we have done. But I want to turn to Luke 19, 17. As Luke 19:17. And we read this just one last verse. And he said to him, well, you good servant, because you have been faithful in very little, have your authority over 10 cities. This tells us we're going to be ruling in eternity. So to increase your maturity, be faithful what God has given you. And be faithful to yourself. Secondly, be obedient to Jesus every day. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you every day say, Jesus, I want to be obedient today. Help me to be obedient. He will help you. And finally, rejoice in the Lord. Turn to Philippians. That's a little book of Philippians. And we look it up in chapter 4. It's Philippians 4, verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. He doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when you feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So whatever you're facing, whatever it is, job situation, tax situation, sickness, whatever it is you're facing, begin to rejoice and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I shall have your peace. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on those things. Now, verse 8, you should go to the nearest sign company and ask them to make you a sign. Twice the size of this, of that verse. Hang that above your television set. And every time you turn it on, look at that. Whatsoever things are true, click. Another channel. Whatsoever things are honest, I can't watch that. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, terrible. Whatsoever things are lovely, I can see this. Whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think of those things. And then, in verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. And I can do all things with Christ which strengthens me. As you close it this morning, what I want you to take home with me is simply this now. You have so many years left on earth. You can do two things. You can simply say when it's too late and just stew in your bitterness. Or you can simply say, well, I didn't put in as much time as I wanted to. But from this day on, I am going to change my life. And I am going to begin to invest more in the kingdom of God. And I tell you what, every day you put something in is everyday spiritual growth. I told Eric when we saw him last night when he came in from Canada. And I looked at him. I didn't quite recognize him first in the parking lot. And I had to take a second look. And I realized he walked different. He held himself different. And his countenance was different. It was a man that came with confidence. When he came the first time, he was a defeated man. And he was walking like a person that didn't know where he was going. I know most of you, there were some people here today I do not know because you're new here or you haven't been that long. But most of you that I know, I can say this to you. Since you have attended here, you have grown. You might not recognize yourself, but you have more word in you. You have more prayer in you. And what you should do right now is to simply say this. I praise God, I finished high school. I'm now going to enter college. The college of the Holy Ghost. And I want now to get all my impurities out. I want to increase my faith. And God, help me today to praise you before I see the result. So when the victory comes, I can simply say, hallelujah, I knew it all the time. I was facing a week ago, my driver's license was not renewed because of my eyesight. I had a problem with one of my eyes. Couldn't pass the eye exam. Had to take the written test, and then I had to go on take the driving test. And I had people pray for me. And I told them this, I'm going to pass. I will pass. I got a guy who was much younger than me. He took me through all kind of paces. And I just simply said, I did whatever he told me to do. And afterward, he says, well, he says, you made some mistakes here and there, but you passed. And I had a little wish to say, son, I've been driving for 47 years. I drove before you were born. I haven't had any major accident. But if you say so, so be it. But I got my license. Let's start with prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for these moments we had here today. And Lord, today is one of these sermons that I want people to reflect. And I want to challenge them. Father God, those that are doing good, I want them to do it better yet. I want everyone to be up another notch. Father God, I want to encourage them. So when we all meet in heaven, someday in the future, they will come up to me and say, Pastor, you pushed me hard. And praise God, I got a galaxy over here that I'm in charge of. Thank you for pushing me. Father, I thank you right now for your Holy Spirit ministering to these people that are here and those watching. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open here now. I want to speak to those of you that are here. What if you have the elders and deacons up here? You can come and be prayed for. If you want to say today that today I want to pray with you, I want to be anointed with oil. I'm doing good, but I want to do better. I want to get up another notch. Use this opportunity to be prayed for. You that are watching us right now, if you're not saved, all you have to do is to say, my Heavenly Father, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry the way I lived. I want to be born again. Jesus, come on in, Jesus. Come on in and save me. And He will. And you can be born right there on the spot where you are. If you want to rededicate your life, or if you have questions, call us, write us. There's a number down the screen for you. And let us help you. But most of all, call Jesus. And now those of you here that want more of Jesus, use the opportunity and come. In Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the 20th part in the series, the Epistle to the Hebrews, and was entitled, The Eternal Goal. Jesus told the disciples to prepare for eternity with spiritual growth, and that only happens on earth while our sinful nature struggles against the born-again spirit. Sadly, if you were to look at the amount of time the average Christian spends fellowshipping with other believers, studying the Bible, and praying, it pales in comparison to all other activities. Our life on earth is short when compared to eternity, and our spiritual focus is extremely limited when contrasted with our secular education. Knowledge is learned, and skills come through practice, but spiritual maturity only comes from the Holy Spirit. Pastor John detailed the outline that Jesus gave for spiritual growth, namely, we are to be humble, responsible, and display the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The resulting maturity we obtain through trials and sufferings on earth will be with us forever. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1375. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.